Tell you what, if that don't get you excited about Jesus, man, we just need to come down and pray right now. Ain't no need of me preaching. When you start talking about the love and the grace of God, man, it just gets you excited about Jesus. You excited to be saved? We got any saved young people in the house? Come on. You guys are supposed to be awake this morning. It's almost lunchtime. You guys ain't supposed to be falling asleep yet. But, amen, how many's happy to be at Truth Camp 2019? Amen. It's always an honor and a privilege to be here. This is my 10th year since I started coming. I've missed 1 year, but this is my 10th year since I started coming. But it's Truth Camps, as he said, it's played a big part in my life, and I'm just thankful to be here once again. It's an honor to be here. I want to thank Brother Goodwin, Brother Lucas, for the opportunity to share this morning. I count it a great honor and a great blessing, and just want to share with you guys this morning. How many enjoyed that message, that word from God that we heard last night? Amen. Give Brother Jacob a hand. I don't know about you, but I'm glad the stink didn't stop him when it came to me. Glory to God. Thank you, brother, for that word. I told him, it's a little tight in here last night. He was trying to break the ice. I said, hopefully this morning we'll put one more crack on the ice, and maybe by tonight it'll be broken, and we'll be able to get in and have church. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts chapter number 2. If you've been in church any period of time, you know this. You could probably quote the first few verses of this by heart without even turning there. I was in prayer here a couple months ago, and the Lord spoke to me. You can stand if you would. We're about to read. Lord spoke to me a couple months ago in prayer, laid this on my heart, and he told me, he said, this is for Truth Camp 2019. And I said, looked back at him. I said, Lord, I'm not preaching at Truth Camp 2019. He said, it's for Truth Camp 2019. And so I kind of battled with it for about 3 weeks, thinking it was probably just me. Then 3 weeks later, Brother Goodwin called me and asked me if I would be ready to preach a morning service at Truth Camp. So I went back to the altar and I said, Lord, forgive me for doubting. And we're going to... So for 2 months, this has been sitting on my heart. So you guys just going to have to bear with me. That doesn't mean that I've spent all 2 months studying this out and got a five-hour message planned. I want to eat lunch too, so we're going to get there. But just bear with us. Acts chapter number 2, begin reading in verse number 1 through 4. The Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were all, somebody say all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want to preach, the Lord being my helper this morning, just for a few minutes on this thought, the manifestation power of the Holy Ghost. The manifestation power of the Holy Ghost. Stretch your hands towards heaven and ask God to anoint the rest of this service. Father, I thank you once again, Lord, for the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit and preach what you've laid upon my heart. Lord, I appreciate and we give honor and thanks for the presence that we already feel in this place. I ask, Lord, that you take your anointing off of your altar. Lord, place it upon these lips of clay. God, I pray that you'd anoint the remaining part of this service. Anoint me to preach the word that you've laid upon my heart. Anoint in every ear of every young man, every young woman, Lord, I pray that they would take this to heart. God, that it would revolutionize within them. God, that you would move in these altars. Do a work like only you can. We give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor that's rightfully due unto you. And all of Truth Camp 2019 said amen and hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated. The manifestation power of the Holy Ghost. I am convinced that it is the perfect will of God for every young man and every young woman that is in this building this morning to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the full power of the Holy Ghost. I don't believe that it's an option. I believe that it is the divine will of God that if you have been saved, if you have been washed by the blood of Jesus, that it is the perfect will of God for you to be baptized in the full power of the Holy Ghost. I have young people ask me, several times I've had young people ask me, Brother Stephen, do you think it's the will of God for me to be baptized now? I said, are you saved? They said, yes, sir. I said, are you living right? They said, yes, sir. I said, then absolutely. There is nothing, I want you to hear me. There's nothing stopping God from filling you. There is absolutely nothing stopping God from filling you on God's part. If you are struggling to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Bible said that he is willing and able to pour out on whoever is willing to receive. And I believe that it is the will of God for every young person to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. But we got to ask ourselves the question, why did God send the Holy Ghost? Why is the Holy Ghost necessary? I'll tell you why it's not. He did not fill you with the Holy Ghost for you to raise your hand at Truth Camp and say, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. He didn't fill you so that when Brother Sean comes around and says, have you been filled? You can check your place and check your name on a mark and say, yeah, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. He didn't fill you with the Holy Ghost for you to join a club. He didn't even fill you with the Holy Ghost for you to speak in tongues when it gets really good. Come on, somebody. That was not the purpose of filling you with the Holy Ghost. Listen, I believe that the speaking in tongues is the full evidence of the Holy Ghost. You have to have it. It comes. It's a duo package. It comes when the Holy Ghost comes. But that is not the reason that God has baptized you with the Holy Ghost. But he said the reason that I baptized you is so that you would have power in heaven and in hell. And when the forces of the enemy rise up against you. He said that spirit is going to raise up a standard against the enemy. I gave you power over the enemy. You see, we have a lot, I hate to be blunt, but I know a lot of people that's been speaking in tongues for years but have no power. They've been speaking in tongues for a long time, but there's no manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Listen, the speaking in tongues is the evidence, and you need it. But that's not the manifestation. Come on, somebody. Speaking in tongues is the evidence. It's not the manifestation. That's just the evidence that it's there. But the manifestation comes when you say, in the name of Jesus, be healed, and the sick get up and are healed. And the manifestation is when you speak to the enemy and say, get thee behind me, Satan, and every demon in the area has to get up and walk away. That is the manifestation power of the Holy Ghost. And it is the will of God for every single young person in this building, everybody at Truth Camp 2019, to be actively walking in the perfect will of the Father, which is for the Holy Ghost to be manifested in my life. I might lose some of you here, but I do not believe it's the will of God for you to struggle your whole teenage life. I don't believe it's the will of God for you to go 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 and wait until you've graduated high school and go to Bible college for you to be walking in the will of God. I believe it's the will of God that right now at Truth Camp 2019, from the youngest to the oldest, you can go home saying, I know without a shadow of a doubt, I am walking in the perfect divine will of my Father, and the Holy Ghost is moving through me. The Bible says in your last days, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. That means, hey, anybody believe we're living in the last days? If you don't, just turn on the news for a second. It'll revolutionize where we're at. But I believe it is the will of God. And I felt this so strong for the last 2 months, Brother Lucas, in my spirit, that God is wanting to raise up a generation that doesn't just have the evidence that I can speak in tongues and I can shout with the best of them and I can get down and I can go through the motions. But I believe God is looking for a generation at Truth Camp this year to walk back home into our schools, into our homes, into my youth group, full of the power of the Holy Ghost, walking in the divine will of God. Glory to God. He's baptized us so that we could have the power. You see, manifestation, the definition of manifestation, is one of the forms that something has when it appears or occurs. An occurrence in which the ghost or, listen, spirit of a dead person appears. The ghost or spirit of a dead person. Listen, you want to know what hell hears? Every single time the Holy Ghost is manifested in your life, every single time you've dived in the altars and the Holy Ghost just begins to do a work inside of you, the demons are reminded of the day when they hung our Savior on a cross and they thought it was over. They're reminded of the day that Calvary stood there on a hill that our Savior bled and died, but they're reminded of the power that after 3 days of being in the grave, heaven looked down and said, you can't hold him anymore. That's the power that lives inside of you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. I want to ask you, how much power does it take to raise somebody from the dead? How much? It's a lot. Probably can't even fathom it, right? And that's the same power that is living inside of you when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. So don't look at me and say, well, Brother Jacob, the enemy's just been destroying my life lately. He's just been getting me. Listen, I'm not talking about going through a bad time or having hard days. I've had those. I've been through those. But don't you dare come up to me and say the power of hell is too strong over my life when you've got the full power of heaven living on the inside of you. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, and I know that I'm walking in the will of God. Glory to God. You see, when the Holy Ghost begins to manifest in my life, it is proof that the cross still has the final say. I said it's proof that the cross still has the final say. I like to look back every once in a while, Brother Seth, and just remind the enemy when hell's on me and I'm going through it and it's on top of me and they're whispering in my ear like Brother Jacob preached last night and hell's just all over me. I like to look back and just make sure that the cross is still there, that the blood still applies. And then I look back and I like to look the enemy and whisper back in his ear, go back to Calvary. The cross is still there. The blood is still applied to my life. And there's not enough power in hell to stop the child of God. Glory to God. I got to move on. Read the book of Acts. That was our rough draft. That's what the church is supposed to look like. Come on, somebody. Going around raising sick. The Bible says that Peter didn't even have enough time to stop. But the Bible says that when he walked by, they would gather for his shadow to pass by. And when he walked by, his shadow would heal them. God said, this is what my church is supposed to look like. This is what it's supposed to look like, walking in the divine will of God. Listen, I ain't preaching from a preacher that's saying I got it all together or that's saying I'm living with the full power. I'm preaching to myself. I've been preaching to myself for the last 2 months. But I believe that God is wanting to raise up a generation here at Truth Camp 2019 of some young people, some young men, some young women that'll be fully and completely baptized in the power and the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. David said it like this: thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Glory to God. My cup runneth over. You see, David said, I don't want to just be full of the Holy Ghost. I don't want to just be full of the Spirit of God. I want to be overflowing with His presence. You know what it takes to be overflowing, young people? When you take a cup and you go put it under a water faucet and you can wait till it gets right at the top and you can pull it back and say, hey, my cup's full. But how you keep it overflowing is when you stick it in there. And even when it's full, you just say, Lord, I know it's full, but just keep pouring it out on me. I know I've got it all right now. I know I'm saved, sanctified, living for God, but I just want a little bit more. And as that spout begins to pour out, that cup begins to overflow. That cup begins to overflow with what's inside. I believe that God is wanting to pour Himself out on some of you this morning. And He's saying, if you keep your cup there long enough, I'll overflow your cup. I'll fill your cup and I'll fill it again and I'll baptize you with the power. He said, my cup is overflowing. I'm going to try not to get too much water on this carpet. Told Brother Goodwin, he said, well, as long as you're not just dumping it everywhere, I'll try not to, but David said, my cup overflowing. You see, young people, when you get back home from truth camp, the enemy's going to try and convince you that you got an empty cup. Come on, somebody. Enemy's going to try and convince you when you get back home that your cup is empty. You're going to find out you get back home, and yeah, you may have shouted all week at truth camp, but you're going to get back home and find out the devil's been doing push-ups while you've been gone, getting ready for you to get back. Because they know they're coming back from truth camp. They've been preached up. They've been prayed up. They've been putting a workout too, getting ready for you to get back, and they are going to do their best to try and convince you that your cup is empty. And what you got at truth camp wasn't real. Come on, somebody. Don't act like you all spiritual and that don't happen. You're going to get back. The enemy's going to try and convince you that you didn't really get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You didn't really get saved. Look at your life that you lived. Look at the home that you come out of. Look at how messed up you've got an empty cup. But the Bible says that David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And just a few verses later, he said, hey, I'm still walking through the valley, but my cup just keeps running over. I may have hail all over me, but my cup just keeps running over. I got a God that's in charge of my cup, and there ain't nothing the devil can do about it. Brother Jacob, you want to know why? Because he ain't in charge of the water supply. I said, he ain't in charge of the water supply. But you got a God that's in charge of your water supply. And he said, your cup is going to run over and over and over. Listen, things might not be going my way. Everything might not be in order. But my cup just keeps running over. I may have problems, but my cup still runneth over. Glory to God. My cup still runneth over. Glory to God. I'm going through hell, Brother Seth, but my cup just keeps running over. I may be short. I might be short on cash. I've had about 5 or 6 different Queen and King candidates come and ask me for money. I'm sorry. Hopefully I'll carry my wallet around. Maybe. I may be short on cash, but I'm not short on the goodness of God. Come on, somebody. I'm about to give you some news, all right? You ready for it? Listen, you got more blessings than you got burdens. I know you came to truth camp thinking that all you had was burdens, but if you'll take a step back and you'll take a look at your life, I can promise you, you got more blessings than you got burdens. You got more blessings than you got burdens. You got more for you than you got against you. And if you let God, the Holy Ghost will come back inside of you and start running your cup over again. My cup can be full. My cup can be running over because God. He can run my cup over. Even when hell tries to convince me that I'm empty. Glory to God. I may have problems, but listen, you're going to get back to camp and the enemy's going to hit you and you're going to look around and say, hey, where'd my feeling go? Where'd the goosebumps go when Brother Dustin was singing? Where that feeling that I had when Brother Jacob was preaching on Thursday night and I just felt the glory of God all over me. Where'd that go? Listen, honey, you don't need a feeling. You can reach back and you can let hell know, look what I brought back. I brought me back a cup and my word says that it's going to keep running over and over. I'm full of the goodness of the Lord. I'm full of his blessings. I'm full of his mercy. I'm full of the Holy Ghost, and my cup just keeps running over. Glory to God. Is your cup running over this morning? Is your cup running over? Can you take a look at your life and say, I can honestly say that my cup is running over? If not, then there's a work that God wants to do for you here this morning. There's a work that God wants to perform in your life. Listen, they may have lied on me, but my cup still keeps running over. They may have turned their backs on me, and my friends may have walked away, but my cup still keeps running over. They may have forsaken me and left me and hung me out to dry, but my cup still keeps running over. I may have to face hell on Monday morning when I get back, but my cup still keeps running over. My family may split, but my cup keeps running over. My family may leave me, but my cup is still running over. See, the power that lies within a full cup is it doesn't matter what hell brings against you. You can shout anyways. It don't matter what the enemy says, I can shout anyways, because when I listen to him, I get down. But when I read that book, it says, listen, when I drink from the cup, it says no weapon that is formed against me is going to prosper. It says greater is he that is in me than he that is in the Lord. My cup still runs over. Every time I drink from the cup, Brother Jacob, I hear rejoice. Not against me. Oh, mine enemies. For when, somebody say when. When I fall. Not if I fall. When I fall. Brother Tom, there's going to be times when I fall flat on my face. And I fail God. Listen, don't think because we get up here on the stage and listen, we do our best to live our best for God. But there are times I fail him. I'll just go ahead and tell you, there are times I fail him. But that's why the writer said in Micah 7 and 8, rejoice not against me, oh, mine enemies, for when I fall. The writer's saying there's times when I'm going to fall. There's times when I'm going to stumble. There's times when I'm going to falter. There's times when I don't make the best decisions. There's times when I don't have everything perfectly and in order. But the next line, he said, but when I fall, I shall arise. So rejoice not against me, for I shall arise. You want to know what he's saying? He's letting the enemy know, I'm not going to be down long enough for you to sing over me. I'm not going to be down long enough for hell to write a song over my body. I'm not going to be down long enough for the enemy to write. Some of you ought to let the enemy know right now, I may have messed up. I may have fallen. I may have fallen short of the glory of God, but don't rejoice over me just yet, because I'm climbing back up. I may have been knocked down, but I ain't staying down. I'm getting back up. Some of you guys need to let that resonate in your spirit, and you need to go home and you need to let the enemy know, I refuse to let you have a song over my family. Come on, somebody. Some of you coming out of homes where you the only one in the house that's serving God. You the only one that's trying to do right. Just like Brother Jacob said last night, there are some of you that are so surrounded by the filth and the stench of the enemy. But just like the man of God said last night, the stink didn't stop him and it still won't. But if you go home and you square your shoulders and you look the devil in the eye and you say, listen, I know it looks bad right now, but don't you rejoice over my family just yet. I'm getting back up. And when I do, my family is going to be saved. My kids are coming back home. I'm going to live home. Wow. Don't rejoice over me. I refuse to give hell a song to sing over my family, over my ministry, over my youth group, over my church, over my school. Listen, did you know? How many here goes to public school? Raise your hand. Did you know that you can leave Truth Camp so full of the Holy Ghost that when you walk back into school this coming year, everybody, you can walk in with such a spirit surrounding you that is the atmosphere of heaven. And when you walk into that school, all of heaven walks in with you. Did you know that you can be so full of the Spirit of God that when you walk into your English class, all of heaven walks in with you and everybody's wondering, what's different about this year? What's different? There's something inside that I just feel that I can't get away from. What was it? Somebody got an experience with God at Truth Camp, but they didn't leave it there. They went back and they said, I'll walk in the will of God and I'll do what He wants me to do. Glory to God. I still have a cup. The cup says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. The cup says, I'll never put on you more than you can bear. The cup says, before you ever stepped into it, I have made a way of escape. That's the power of having a full cup. You see, the disciples said, I just got beat again. We've just gotten whipped. We've just gotten beat. And we've just gotten just gotten our flesh tore off of our backs. But they walked away and they said, but watch this. In the name of Jesus, be healed. And the sick was healed. You ain't got it yet. Paul walked out of another prison cell and said, yeah, I've been locked up in prison for the last few months. All I could do was find me a piece of paper and a little bit of pen, and I just began to write letters the whole time I was there. I just walked out of it. But when I walked out of hell, when I walked out of the prison cell, I had a full cup. And when I walked out, I began to say, loose him and let him go. And the demons were subject. Listen, it doesn't matter what your situation is or if you got everything in order, you can walk out with the full cup and say, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Everything might not be going my way, but I've still got a cup that's running over. You see, hell ain't learned his lesson yet. The devil ain't learned his lesson yet, because every time he would come against the church, it grew. The church didn't grow till they started facing persecution. The disciples didn't start doing major healings and miracles until after they were beat and thrown in prisons. Come on, somebody. See, what the devil hasn't figured out yet is that the more he pressures the children of God, the more our cup just begins to overflow. And I know it ain't easy, Brother Jacob, when hell's on my back and the enemy's just pouring himself out on me and he's pushing himself and he's trying to convince me that it's over and you ain't never going to get out of this. As he's pushing on the other side, I've got my hand lifted up and God says, hold on, son, I'm still filling your cup once more. I may have went down a time or two, but every time I came back up, my cup is still overflowing, and I'm here to tell you, you can leave Truth Camp 2019 with your cup overflowing with the power of the Holy Ghost. I've still got a cup. My cup runs over again and again and again. Glory to God. I don't care what kind of problems you have. If your cup is running over, you are more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. My cup just keeps running over. My cup. See, how do I keep a full cup, preacher? We only have Truth Camp once a year. True, we only title it Truth Camp. But really, all we label camp, yeah, it's got a bunch of games. Yeah, we have to see a bunch of friends. But the real title that we put on it, that's just a title we put on letting the Holy Ghost move for about 4 or 5 days. And we name it Truth Camp. So in that sense, you can have Truth Camp year round at your house. You can go when you think your cup is getting a little empty. And you can step into your prayer closet and you can hit your knees and you can say, Lord, I know Brother Dustin's not here to sing goosebumps up and down my spine. I know Brother Jacob's not here to tell me that the stink won't stop him. I know that I don't have all my friends around me worshiping God. But if you'll just lift your cup up to heaven, I promise you that God is not going to be able to resist filling your cup over. He's not a respecter of person and he's not a respecter of location. But if you'll get alone with God and say, Lord, one more time, would you just fill my cup? I need to feel your presence again. I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost again. He'll reach down and he'll fill your cup once again. It just keeps running over. Hallelujah. See, we've tried to do it without the Holy Ghost, and we found out that it doesn't work. Jesus said, he mentioned it last night. Jesus said, Peter, Satan desired to have you to sift you as wheat. He said, but be of good cheer, Peter. I prayed for you. Listen, it is one thing to get a text from my friend and say, listen, man, I'm praying for you right now. Anybody ever got a text like that or just somebody letting you know they're praying for you, your pastor, a friend, your mom or dad? Doesn't that just do something to you? Like, man, I feel like I can take on hell with a water gun right now because I got somebody praying for me. I got a grandma back home. She don't like me talking about her. That lady, all she does all day long is pray. She cooks and prays. She cleans and prays. I'm surprised she can't read and pray together. If she ain't praying, she's reading the Bible. We're walking down. We're just walking, taking a walk. And under her breath, I can hear her praying. She prays herself to sleep every night. And when that woman of God sends me a text or gives me a phone call and says, Stephen, you've been on my heart. I'm praying for you. I know that she's interceding. And I know that she is pressing her way through to the throne room. And I know I can handle just about anything that comes my way when Grandma Taylor's praying for me. It's one thing to have something like that. But to have the Son of Almighty God, the one that sits on the right hand of the Father, the Bible says, making intercession for us, for him to look at you and say, Erica, I'm praying for you. What he's saying is, I'm making intercession. I'm standing in between you and the Father. And with one hand, I'm grabbed a hold of yours. And with the other hand, I'm reaching heaven. And what I'm doing is I'm interceding. And I know it looks like it's going downhill. And I know it looks like everything is falling apart. And I know your family just got bad news. And I know that your friends just left you. And I know that everything in your life is just seemed to be going down. But I've got one hand on heaven. And I've got one hand on you. And I will not let you go. I come to let somebody know at Truth Camp 2019 that you've got an intercessor that is greater than any pastor, any grandma, any prayer warrior, but the very Son of the living God is making intercession for you. He prays for you that your cup would not be empty. Glory to God. Because there's one thing the devil didn't count on. He didn't count. He said, I got to believe when Jesus said that to Peter, he said, Peter, devil desires to have you, sift you as wheat, but be of good cheer. I prayed for you. I got to believe that in the back of Christ's mind, Jesus knew that, yeah, the devil won't let up. But Peter, there's coming a day very soon that you're going to make your way into the upper room with about 120 other people. And you're going to get up in that room and you're going to pray. And somewhere along the 10th day, you're going to break through and all of heaven is going to come down and you're going to be baptized in the full power of the Holy Ghost. I got to believe that's what Jesus had in mind, because there's one thing that the devil didn't count on. He thought he was going to get Jesus as a right-hand man, but there's one thing the devil didn't count on. He didn't count on Peter being baptized in the power of the Holy Ghost. Young people, I come to let you know there's one thing the devil didn't count on. He didn't count on you leaving Truth Camp full of the power of the Holy Ghost. He didn't count on you having the Holy Ghost manifested out of your life. But that's what God is wanting to do, and I'm getting ready to close. Glory to God. Somebody come and help me at the piano, Sister Ashley, if you would, Brother Dustin. If the devil would have known what was coming, he'd have left Peter alone. He would have. But he kept on. And 3,000 souls were saved. I said the enemy didn't let up. And 3,000 souls were added in the Lamb's Book of Life. Which means when the enemy's constantly on me, I know that if I can just press through, and if I can press through and be filled with the full power of the Holy Ghost, that God is going to use that constant pressing, that constant accusation, that constant oppression. God's going to turn that around, and my mama is going to get saved. My daddy is going to get cleaned up. My siblings are going to be sanctified. My youth group is going to be set on fire. God is about to use me for His glory. Glory to God. You see, I've often wondered what happened when that upper room experience happened. You see, you thought hell's radar was high when Jesus was on the loose. Come on, somebody. You thought hell had a problem. You thought the demons were in trouble when Jesus was on earth. But at least then, Brother Seth, they only had to worry about one man healing the sick. And they only had to worry about one man going around and raising the dead. They only had to worry about one man that had the power to speak to the demons, and they had to get up and leave. But when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there was 120 of them instantly baptized in the same heavenly power that Jesus had. Glory to God. I wonder what was going on in hell when that happened. Brother Jacob, can I just use my imagination? Is this all right? I just want to use my imagination for a second. I wonder if one of the head demons didn't come run in to headquarters and say, "Hey, boy, we got a problem now. You remember that one guy that gave us so much trouble? You know that one guy that every time we afflict somebody with disease, it seemed like he'd just come in right behind us and heal them? You know that one time, you know that one guy that went around and every time we seemed to put somebody in the grave, he'd go out, even when we had him in there for 4 days, he'd come over there and raise him up. And before we even had a chance to bury him, he walked in the house and he said, 'Death, loose her and let her go.' You remember that guy that gave us so much trouble, that gave us such a headache? Well, just a few hours ago, whoa, you ain't hearing what I'm hearing. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. He said just a few hours ago, there was 120 of them baptized in the same power that Jesus had. We tried stopping them for about 10 days, but just a few moments ago, something happened. Heaven came down and filled that place, and 120 of them were baptized with the same Spirit. I wonder what was going on in hell that day. Say, hey, we thought it was over. We hung him on the cross. We put him in a grave. 3 days later, he rose up, and we thought he was going to go back to work. And we got a sigh of relief when he ascended up into heaven and instead decided to leave us alone. I can just see one of the demons saying, hey, we tried stopping him for about 10 days. Right before I walked out, holy presence set in there, and we didn't have a choice but to leave. It felt just like that day when we were inside the man at the Gadarenes and Jesus spoke and we didn't have a choice, but we had to leave. That's what it felt like. He said, and right before I walked out the door, I heard them talking in a language that is not of this world. Tell me, Satan, what language was that? I believe that the devil got a cringe running down his spine. And he said, everybody better be put to your stations. The Holy Ghost has just landed on earth. And I come to let somebody know that that same power that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody stand all across this place. I'm getting ready to close. Begin to play if you would. Glory to God. They've just been filled. The next thing you know, that disciple, see one of the demons running. Say, hey, you remember that disciple that just a few days ago was cursing and swearing? You'll never guess what he did. When that power hit him, something happened. Something changed. And when he stood up and he began to speak, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He said, all of a sudden, every demon in the city had to leave, and 3,000 souls ran to the altar and begin to get saved. What was it? It was the complete power of heaven that rested in one man. In one man. Listen, if Jesus could do that with 120 that was able to say, Lord, here's my cup, fill it up. I want the Holy Ghost to manifest in my life. What could he do this morning? He's the same God. Listen, I'm thankful for Azusa Street. I'm thankful for D.L. Moody, Charles Spurgeon, and all those great men of God. But I didn't come to Truth Camp to talk about a God of yesterday. I came to talk about a God that is willing to move and work right here and right now. On Tuesday morning, of Truth Camp 2019. You say, preacher, well, I just can't do that. I'm not called to preach. I'm not a talented singer. I just don't have that much to offer. That's okay. Because all he wants is you. And he said, if you'll give me you, I'll fill you with the full baptism of the Holy Ghost and the complete power of heaven will rest on your shoulders. And when you speak the word, every demon that's in your family's life is going to have to get up and leave. Every spirit that's been attacking your youth group is going to have to get up and leave. When you walk back home and you walk back into your home church full of the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to share this story and I'm making my altar call. Missionary, if I named his name, most of you would know him. He told me, he said, hey, we got this girl in China. 16-year-old girl got gloriously saved. Gloriously saved. Listen, this wasn't 20, 50, 80 years ago. This was just a matter of a few years ago. He said, we got this 16-year-old Chinese girl that got gloriously saved. And the same night, God baptized her in the complete power of the Holy Ghost. He said, hey, you want to know what she's doing? He said, she's going around and she's finding all the sick people she can. And when she lays her hand on them, they're healed. And she gathers a crowd. Then she finds a high place. She's not very tall. And she stands on her tippy toes and she begins to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. He said, she'll go. She's been called upon when somebody dies. And before they call the doctor, they call her. And when she comes in, she has went in on multiple occasions. And she has come in and she has prayed over them, and the dead has got up and risen. A 16-year-old girl. That ain't it. He said, Brother Stephen, he said, she has went down to the morgue when the Holy Ghost deals with her. And she goes down there and she says, give me the last person that was brought in. And they looked at her, thought she was some kind of family member. And they pulled her out the first time. She said she laid hands and prayed and said, in the name of Jesus, you will live again. They said, and the person that was already been in the morgue, bagged up and everything, got up. And as soon as she woke up, she said, Jesus has given you a second chance. You need to get saved. He said she's done that so many times. When she walks in, the people that work at the morgue just turn around, walk back, and pull out the last person that was dead and leaves her in the room with them. I want you to know something about this girl, though. 16-year-old Chinese girl. It's illegal to preach the gospel in China. And this 16-year-old girl has been taken on multiple occasions and beat within an inch of her life, been abused in ways that I can't say over this pulpit on multiple occasions. When they find her preaching the gospel, they go get her and they beat her and they do it again and they leave her on the street. She'll crawl back to her house and she'll heal up. And then she goes back out. And even though people are telling her, you know, they're going to find you again, they're going to do it. She said, yeah. She said, but there's just something inside of me that has got to go and do what God is telling me to do. They said one time she came into the morgue. This is a true story. They said one time this 16-year-old girl walked into the morgue and she said, give me the last person. Then they looked at her and they said, we have no other dead people. You've already raised all of them. We don't have anybody else. You're about to put us out of business. She didn't stop there. She said, tell me where the last place you buried them. And she went to a fresh grave. And with her hands, she said, the Holy Ghost won't let me get away from it. She dug a grave up with her bare hands, opened the casket, and stood over it and said, in the name of Jesus, you will live again. Guess what happened? That power that filled her the same day she got saved, the same power that lives inside of us resonated in heaven, looked down and said, get up in the name of Jesus, because when I've got the Holy Ghost manifested in my life, all of heaven is at my disposal. When I'm walking in the will of God, if a 16-year-old girl, where it's illegal to do what she's doing, she gets beat on multiple occasions, but she comes back and she says, Brother Jake, there's just something inside of me that is screaming to proclaim this gospel and do what God has called me to do. I wonder what would happen if every young man and every young woman in this place this morning would completely surrender themselves to God and say, Lord, I don't want just the evidence. I don't want to just speak in tongues when it gets going good, but I want the Holy Ghost. I want the Spirit of God to be manifested out of my life. I want, you want to know what my prayer is? My prayer is that when Candace goes to bed at night and when she lays down her head to go to bed, I want hell to go, whoa, I'm glad she's asleep. I don't know what we would have done another second. At least we get to sleep for about 6 to 8 hours. But then the Bible says that we dream dreams and see visions, and we mess hell's schedule up there too. My desire and my prayer is that you would go home walking in the full, divine, perfect will of God, that all of hell stands at attention because of the power that is manifested in your life. I've done my best to preach what the Lord gave me. I wonder if there's any in this house, every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to make it as easy as possible, but I am not going to linger. Holy Ghost spoke to me to make this altar call. He told me, he said, don't you linger. This is only for those that are desperate and serious about being filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. So I'm going to make my first altar call like this. If you have never receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God sent a California preacher to let you know that today is your day, that God wants to baptize you with the power of the Holy Ghost. You say, I've never been filled, but I want to. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. There's hands all across this place. All right. Would you take the next step? I want you to come down to these altars. If you're serious and if you're desperate for the Holy Ghost to move and to be walking in the will of God, come right now. I'm not lingering but a few seconds. I want you to stand across this place. We're going to lay hands and pray for you. Leaders, get ready to come. If you have never been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right. Everybody else has been filled. My God. Praise the Lord. All right, this is my next altar call. You say, Brother Stephen, I've been filled. I've spoken tongues. But I have yet to see the full power of God manifested in my life. And I don't want to go another day with just the evidence. But you say, Brother Stephen, I want to leave Truth Camp 2019 walking in the divine will of God with the full power of the Holy Ghost. If that's you, strip these pews right now. Say, I want the Holy Ghost to be manifested. As they begin to sing, could the leaders, counselors, could you come find some young people to pray? Young people, I want you to lift your hands and I don't want you to just say a little prayer for about 5 or 10 minutes and turn around and go back. But I want you to pray, Lord, let the Holy Ghost be manifested in my life.
Atmosphere, your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord, your presence, Lord.
Young people, I want to walk in the divine, perfect will of God.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. There's nothing worse.